afternoon, everyone. We're speaking to you from the Spank Princess Ballroom of the Hotel Sturdley in Midtown Crumville. We're all set to bring you music by Ned Sturdley and his Society Orchestra.
All right, boys.
Friends, it's a pleasure of mine to present to you the maestro himself, Tex, and his Smoky Valley Boys.
Howdy, folks. Howdy, Ray. And good afternoon to all you people out there dancing across the nation to our fine society music.
Great afternoon for dancing, Tex.
It's a good afternoon, and I hope you people are warming up to our music because, of course, on days like this, we have to do everything we can to get rid of those cold breezes coming in around the door here at the Happy Mountain Boys Lodge on beautiful Route 73 in Upper Scarsdale, New York.
What are you going to pay for this first?
Well, I think I've got Romeo and myself.
Every time you say that, you laugh, don't you?
I always laugh when I mention him because he is so funny, and I think we're going to team up on a duet. Ain't that right, Romeo?
Yes, it is, Tex.
What's the gear we're going to do this
in? Going to do this gear of F-flat.
In the gear of F-flat. All right, boys, if you roll it over, we'll go ahead.
Just go on.
Yeah, something went wrong there. We had a duet all planned, and I don't know, Romeo wanted to sing by himself.
Well, I reckon we ought to get to singing now, Tex. Evan, we still got a job.
We return you now to Boston.
Evan, we're back in Boston now. Reckon I don't know what to do back up here. It's so
I don't
hot.
Either. Lest so, we say that this is matinee.
I don't believe we ought to say that at all, Bob, because I'm pretty ashamed of it myself.
We should be associated with this program
whatsoever. Is it ever warm?
It's rather
six
warm.
Six more days, the weather forecaster says.
That's what he said.
Exactly what he said.
He said that.
Yeah?
We had a lot of comments on yesterday's show saying that we cooled people off to a great degree. And you know, hot values and cool prices. That's what you find at the new Clinton Basement Sales Room in Clinton's Boston store opposite Sears. Yes?
Go on, Bob. You're doing real well.
Well, that's as much as I can do it. What's the matter?
Mr. Burgoyne, our engineer...
He's listening to some of those.
...has contacted the Princess Ballroom once again, I believe. He says no.
Are they ready to come in?
Marconi would be proud of him.
He certainly would. He knows just which switch to switch.
That's right. Well, Bob, speaking of Clinton clothes, I think we ought to finish it so long as we did start.
Mine as well. I think... One sentence at a time is about all we can do, though.
Hot values and cool prices. That's what you find at the new Clinton Basement Sales Room in Clinton's Boston store, opposite Sears. Yes, Clinton's has chilled the heat wave.
Oh, what's the matter? What
I don't know. I mean, can a bargain price cool
chill the heat wave?
Who wrote that?
Because of Clinton's, it's cooler at my house, I suppose.
Well, that's what they say. That's what the agency sent over.
Well, you know, thank you, Bob.
All right.
So much for that on a hot day.
Yeah, we would have gone through this, but you see how it is, friend.
Bill, wonder could I come in and talk with you?
Sound like somebody out there wanting
hey,
to
Bill.
Come in. And about time somebody knocked on the door,
Bill,
I think.
Bill, I wonder could I come on in
come
here.
Come in and talk to them. I think I hear a knocking on the door now.
Hello, Bill.
Why don't you come in, whoever's out there?
I'm already in, Bill. Look at me, darling.
Oh, you must be in here now, Pliny.
Right over.
How are you?
Pretty warm.
Probably warm, ain't you?
No, I'm hot.
Kind of cool?
Not at all, Bill.
How's the wife and the family?
Hot. Mighty hot, Bill.
Yeah, that all you can say? Hot?
No, I could say something else, but we're on the radio. And,
yeah, that's right.
And it is mighty hot. I thought I'd say that right
Let's
now.
Let's turn this radio on and see if we can get any of that high-type society-style music.
All right, maybe we can get Steve Sturley.
Might be able to get Steve Sturley. It's just about time for him.
All right.
I'll click it on here.
Good boy.
Yes, I know you've lost your only true love, and the life you live is not worthwhile, but I'll bet you...
Yes, Clinton's has chilled the heat wave on clothing by offering thousands of record-breaking basement bargains at prices slashed one-half, one-third, two-thirds, and more. For example, you'll find pure wool and camel hair fall top coats.
Made to sell $35.
Basement priced at only, guess.
$15?
Right. Men's two pants suits priced at only $28. That's right.
Two pants suits. This is just the day to wear a two pants suit.
For only $28. Handsomely tailored slacks in students and young men's sizes 28 to 33.
What is the size of a student?
28 to 33.
Varies, doesn't it?
Originally priced as high as $8.95, now at two pairs for only $7. I think it should be pairs.
Yeah.
Thousands of odd lots and fine clothes made up from remnants, mill ends, and salesman samples are yours at almost giveaway prices.
For friends, spruce up and save at the new Clinton Basement Sales Room, 200 Brookline Avenue in Boston, opposite Sears, open from 9 to 9.
Then I'd like to do blood on the saddle.
Please, Tex, not on a hot day like Tex. Not on a hot day like Tex. Not to come on in and sing that blood on the saddle.
Well, all right. You know what you know, of course. I suppose.
Boy, that's a profound statement if I ever heard it.
Why don't you go over there and cool off?
Why don't you go over and work dead, Tex, if you could work it in between now and
then.
All
right, I'll take my hound dog guitar and go over here and sit down with Mr. Whittley.
All right. So long for now.
There, so long for now.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, Mary.
Hello, Ray, and hello, ladies in radio land.
How are you bearing up,
Mary? It's great to be back with you all today.
Now, that's the only part of her script that's prepared, friends.
That is written down for me, friends. The rest I ad-libber.
Ad-lib.
All right, then, Bob.
How are you bearing up under the heat?
Well, not too good at all.
Did you serve that cold weather special that you mentioned yesterday?
You mean that hot chowder?
Yes.
Yes, I did, and it went over like a lead balloon, too, I might add.
Everybody liked it up there.
They didn't.
Oh, they didn't?
No, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I was cool with the looks I got.
That's a cold shoulder, huh?
Little do I care. Well, I gave them a little cold tongue when they didn't need it.
Uh-huh.
Bless me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Edgar is still carrying on, I suppose.
Unfortunately, he's sitting in the shade, Bob.
He is, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the smartest thing to do. He's not so dumb as you've made him out to be.
Well, I kind of wished he'd get out in the sun. It may do him some good.
Well,
he got an awful pasty color about him, you know.
My opinion was that he maybe stayed out in the sun too long.
Well, that's your opinion, Bob. You never lived with that man. Believe me, he's a handful.
He is, huh?
Yes.
Well,
keeps me in a tizzy all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, no recipes today, huh?
No, it's too hot for recipes today, Bob.
Yes, it is.
Well, unless you'd like to sit down to a good dish of hot chili.
No, I don't.
Side order of beans, maybe?
No, I don't think we need to talk about food. We're not eating very much in this warm
weather. Well, you shouldn't, really. You should keep your diet down to crisp salads, Bob.
Yeah.
And what would be better than a prune whip salad?
Well, I don't know. It doesn't sound too sharp to me.
It's really grand. Your family will go for it, particularly when they come running in from the outdoors after a busy, hard day playing.
Yeah.
Their appetites will be at a peak.
They won't be
jaded.
And
if you set them down to a nice big,
Bowl
of this stuff. Boy, they'll really go for it, lickety-split.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, let's not go into it today.
Well, what you do, ladies, is you buy up about 3 pounds of these here type, I don't know what brand name.
Well,
you know any good brand names, Bob?
You don't need to mention that.
Well, I should. No, well, just take some prunes, then, and wet them down. Put them into a big pail and squeegee them all up, and then beat them until they're a light, fluffy substance, and plop them on a soggy piece of lettuce, and there you are.
Boy, that really sounds delicious.
Man, it's grand.
I'll bet it is.
Oh.
Great hot weather dessert.
Thank you, Bob. I better go along now.
I think you'd better, because we've got to get over to Linda's house, too. If we could have a little bit of theme for Linda, please.
No, not that.
I'm sick and tired of you, little darling.
Now,
get up.
The life and loves of Linda Lovely. Written for radio by E. Carrington Lump, and today presenting episode 73, book 21, entitled Linda Meets Brenda. It's late afternoon as Daphne and Brenda sit before the fireplace. The clock doesn't strike, and Brenda says to George,
"Wait a minute, announcer.
Something is wrong. I think the heat has gotten Lump now.
I think that maybe we ought to look in on Linda, who has just met Brenda and is telling David about
it." All right, if we could have the theme over again, we'll start the whole thing again.
We're in no rush on this.
Now, the romantic story of Linda Lovely, the story that proves that a young girl over 30. It's late afternoon as Linda and David sit looking into the fading embers of their fireplace fire.
David, darling. With this Western-type music, do you suppose we reckon we ought to have a funny-type thing like this? I mean, pop on like we used to when we were on the Chuck Wagon program.
All those were happy days on that Chuck Wagon program.
Darling, let's put on my penthouse voice.
Yes, I think it's time that we went out into the fields and harvested the hay.
David, that's the nicest thing you ever said to me.
Here, I'll turn the radio on and see if I can
David,
get some soft,
please.
Romantic music.
Please don't do that to me, David. I'm trying to think.
There's some, my darling. It's been so long since we...
David, when I hear music like that, I just want to read poetry.
Read some to me.
All right, my darling. Your hands, my this sweet, train, okay, are so soft and lovable. And soft and lovable.
You seem to have reached an impact.
On the next page it goes on to say, your skin is so soft and lovable, and your eyes are so soft and lovable.
Listen to that soft and lovable romantic music.
Dear David, hold my hand.
Doesn't that do things to you?
Yeah. Let's dance.
All right. It's a waltz, isn't it?
Watch my shine, will you, David?
This train will carry the glory, this train. This train will carry the glory. Don't care nothing but the good and the holy. This train will carry the glory, this train.
Look, you can just miss that train if you hurry and don't come back, please. This program is a public service feature, and that cannot be construed in any manner as being public service to anybody.
This is WHDH in Boston.
Phew. So long for that program.
Welcome to part two of Matinee with Bob and Ray.
Hello out there on the West Coast. What you a pair of ears you've got.
Yeah. I think we were going to do a thing, weren't we, today?
Yes, today. Oh, yes. Yes. Iron Tablets, made by U.S. Steel, presents Dr. Agony's unoriginal Bad Will Hour. Remember, friends, to keep your feet on the ground iron tablets in your tummy. Now, Dr. Agony.
Thank you, Mr. Stelling. And our first case, please.
First case is that of Mr. L.M.
All right, sir. Your problem, please.
T.
Mr. T, your problem, please.
Mr. Agony, hi. I met this here girl, see? On Route 1.
Now, let me see if I have the facts right to this point. You say you met this lady?
Yeah, that lady there. And she's with me, too, in the second row. Can't
miss that. Is that the lady who came in with you this evening?
That's the one.
Well, we'll let her sit there, and I'll continue with your problem.
Well, I met this here lady, see, on Route 1.
Let's not mention any proper names.
No, I was on a make, see?
Well, let's not go into your personal life.
Well, all right, then. So what? I mean, I'm here for you to fix me up, you know?
You'll have to get control of yourself, sir. I can see you're about to break down.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not going to cry or anything
like
that.
I'll continue with your problem. What happened after you met this
lady? Well,
we
got married. You see what I mean?
Oh, I see.
That's my whole problem there. But there are other things I've got that you... I mean, there's nothing you can do about that, is there, Mr. Agony? I mean...
Yours is a problem which faces many men these days.
Why don't they find
themselves married.
Yes, sir.
And it is one of the problems which we try to settle amicably here on this court of ill will and unoriginality.
I don't know what to do without you, Mr. Agony, but I'm willing to try it for a couple of weeks.
That answer your problem?
Not exactly, no, but it certainly helps.
All right, Mr. Sterling, our next case, please.
Mr. Agony, this is the case of Mrs. L.M.
All right, Mrs. M., your problem, please.
T.O.
This is all.
Mr. Agony.
Will you speak up a little bit louder, please?
Mr. Agony, I have a problem here. And I am going to ad-lib my problem.
All right, you have a few notes.
This has not been rehearsed.
Go right ahead, please.
I am not reading
words. All right, you can skip the introductory message there, and I'll continue with your problem.
I am doing this in an informal manner.
All right, madam, your problem, please.
Mr. Agony, my problem is simply this. Mr. Agony, I was... My
Let
problem is
yourself,
simply...
Please,
this
madam.
Is my problem. I was married 14 years ago.
Oh,
and
I
my
see. Now, let me see if I have the facts right. You say you were married 14 years ago to your husband.
Who else?
All right, continue, please.
And I have been married for all those years. Now then, sir...
You say you have been married for 14 years.
My problem
Call
is
me your
simple.
Honor, please.
This is it. I have not seen my husband in going on to 11 years now.
Oh, I see.
And I am having a hard time trying to make ends meet.
And you say you have not seen your husband for the past 11 years?
He flew away.
Flew the coop?
Yes. They sprung him many years ago. And I am expecting him home any moment.
Let me ask you just one question, please. This mother-in-law of whom you speak,
yes.
Is she living with you now?
Unfortunately, she is, yes.
I see, and her
and
sister?
And she is always butting into my business.
And what of the little boy?
Little Ned?
Yes.
He has run away, too.
How long ago did he run away?
He ran away 9 years ago.
And you have not seen him for 9 years?
Yes. Sir.
Now, let me see if I have the problem right up to this point. You say that you were married 14 years ago. You have not seen your husband for 11 years. Your little boy, Ned,
yes.
ran away three...
That is
how
it.
Many years ago? 9 years ago.
Yes.
And your mother-in-law is living with you now.
Yes.
Let me ask you just one question. This sister, of whom you have spoken so many times, where
she
is she now?
She is the fly in ointment. In the ointment.
I see. She is the one who's causing the trouble with that other man.
Yes, Sidney, the handsome New York architect.
Don't mention any proper names, please.
All right, sir.
How long ago did you see Sidney, please?
Going on 2 years ago.
I see. You have not seen Sidney for 2 years?
No.
All right. This begins to unfold and become clearer. As
Why don't I wait and see you later when you have more time to give? To my problem.
I think that would be a very good idea, Mrs. T. Oh, and you'll see me in my private office after the program. I'll be glad to give you some non-legal advice.
Friends?
If I give you legal advice, I'll be in the clink myself.
Well, friends, this has been another sensational episode.
I'll give it to you if you want to pay for it.
All right, Doctor. In the...
You see my life... situation.
Excuse me, Doctor. We must sign off now. The life of Dr. Agony and his unoriginal Bad Will R. Brought to you by U.S. Steel.
That was a good problem, though.
Makers of iron tablets.
I still don't understand where Edward came in.
Well, let's not think about that too much. Tonight is the big night at Wonderland Revere, friends. And I want to mention right now that these here type dogs are going to be running for $10,200 tonight. And as I said before, it's more money than they give me for running anywhere.
Yes, and, this race stars future champions. There's no question about it.
Thank you, Martin. You'll also see two Revere Course Endurance Contests, the 5th and 10th races, plus the spotlighted feature event, the 9th, which tonight brings to post Rushaway,
Taylor Job.
He's appearing through the courtesy of Clinton's. Spoken,
Lucky Ally.
Kilkenny,
Blue Actor.
Lucky Selma.
And Lady Gertie.
The post time, friends, first race, 7:45.
Sounds like gags, but those are the actual names of the dogs.
Daily double windows closed down tight at 7:30. Watch your fingers. Revere is near from all points over wide highways. From Boston by MTA from Maverick Station or by the B&M's Wonderland Special, which leaves North Station nightly at approximately 6:35. I mean, if they get 15 men to push the thing out of the North Station, it'll start then.
Then if you're driving?
And I might mention that that Wonderland Special is delightfully air-conditioned.
That's right. Go Greyhound racing tonight at Wonderland Revere, where it's always cool and comfortable. Right here would be where we'd put Stilton's if we had it with us.
I might mention how they delightfully air-condition that Wonderland
would
special.
Would you explain the air-conditioning?
The conductor runs up and down the aisle.
Uh-huh.
And that is about the extent of it.
How many times can he make that during the trip?
I haven't clocked him on it yet, Harold, but I will go to work on that first opportunity I get. I'd love to sing a song for
right,
you now.
That's right, boys. I am ready to do another song now, and if I just bring my fellas around the microphone here.
Got all the boys coming on up
here? Got them all up here, except Eddie.
Where is Eddie? Laid up with the heat wave?
Eddie couldn't make it this afternoon, Ray, and don't josh me. I think you're trying to make fun of me.
How's everything going over there at the Grand Concourse of the North Station?
Oh, right? Everything's going along fine in that real western atmosphere, and we're all having a fine time playing for the folks down there long about 3 o'clock in the morning.
Do you really have much of a crowd at that time?
Get all of 8 people sometimes.
And then you all get out and swab the deck when you're through.
We get out and go to our regularly assigned posts.
That is, swabbing the deck of the Grand Concourse. That's a lot of cement there. How do you do it? Would you care to tell us?
Well, we just throw the water down and slosh it around, that's all.
I suppose that's about, and then squeegee it off.
Squeegee it off, and then, of course, we rinse.
I suppose that's the only way you could.
And we always use Dove, I might say.
Well, that's great.
Have you tried, boys, are you ready?
Have you tried Dove?
No, I haven't. That's what does Dove do?
That cleans Dove. Well, what is the song you're going to sing for us?
Well, this little number is something we've been working on for an awful long time. And
it should be good. I'm hanging by my thumbs waiting
for it. We've worked out a special arrangement of it. Fred Waring is considering buying this. I don't know whether he will or not. All right, boys. 1, 2, 3.
This is the first loan you gave to me. That is left of my used to be. I've kept it with me through all these years, recalling memories through lonesome tears. Between the pages, my story's told of love that was. And then grew cold. All that is left now is plain to see. It's this pink rose, dear, you gave to me.
Hand me down my stays. Did Romeo squeeze that stomach Steinway?
That Joe Kelly on saxophone, friend.
This is the first rose, all star the land. The joy it brought me, and now past. But I can hold it memory within the first rose you gave to me.
Tex,
got that little special ending there that we
that
put on.
That brought tears to my eyes.
Well, it kind of make me sad, too.
Yes, indeed. It sure did.
Sure did make me sad, and I wish I knew what that
well,
was
Tex,
they're reading out
would
there.
Would you give us a rundown? Would you give us a rundown now on where your bookings are going to be?
Yes, we'll be in Bald Knob, Kentucky all next week for one big show on Thursday. And then, of course, the three big shows on Monday morning at 9 o'clock. That's over in Skeleton Hash, Wyoming.
You have three different
units. We're going to be flying.
I imagine you will be, unless you take a bath, Tex. I don't know how you fellows live, really. I don't. It's close in here. I mean, it's been a half hour you've been playing around here. And
have a lot of brotherly spirit.
There is hot water available at the North Station.
Well,
there's a late message coming in, Tex.
Yeah, will you get that,
yeah,
right? I don't know if we're going to have any theme today. Have you got anything out there that's quite appropriate? I guess he has. That can fade in practically any time within the next 30 seconds. What is the message?
Got an invite from Bongo Mitchie up there at the Indian Cave Lodge.
Oh, my old friend Bongo up there. We're playing...
Telegram reads from President Ulysses S. Grant. It reads, to Bob and Ray, my secret agents. Is Freshwater's Cool Foods.
Fine.
Are you?
Yeah,
sure.
Well, we might as well get out of here right now, then.
Suppose we might as well shoot right on up there.
Yeah, please. We'll be seeing you, Bongo.
Yeah, Bongo Mitchie, friend. He is the manager of the Indian Cave Lodge at Sunapee. That is Lake Sunapee, New Hampshire. He's a real character. Drop in and give him a knowing smile.
Sure thing. He'll know.
Sure, he'll know that you know all about him, you know?
And he'll treat you 100%.
Bob, we have to get off the air and make room for Moxie.
I suppose we do with that. And, of course, tomorrow... We will be back at the regular time.
At the regularly scheduled time. And if the boss wasn't listening, you can bet we'll be back.
Consult your local newspapers.
For what, boss?
Well, I keep up on anything.
Give me one good reason why to consult is a local newspaper, huh?
Well, don't then, huh?
All right, I'm not going to consult.
Don't read it.
All right. Ready to news.
Wayne King and his orchestra appeared through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer.
This program was written for radio by a couple of newspapermen.